with the United National Anti-War Committee, we've gathered together today a broad coalition of community and labor and faith-based organizations to make a statement here about our right to protest. And I want to thank everyone for coming and standing with us as we make this statement. We're going to be marching next May when NATO and the G8 hold their summit here in Chicago. So you might ask, why so early a press conference? And the answer is, we didn't pick the timing. The city of Chicago and the superintendent of police picked the timing when, on July 15th, Superintendent McCarthy, on the front page of the Chicago Sun-Times, says to protesters gearing up for G8 and NATO next year, "We'll be ready," he says. And inside, he clarifies. What does that mean? He said, it means that they'll have 13,000 Chicago police officers ready for mass arrests. They'll have the FBI and other federal agencies ready to do what they do, investigate, infiltrate, disrupt the activities of a coalition that's planning a permitted protest with families and communities taking part. So today, all of the activists and organizations assembled here today are coming with one message to Mayor Emanuel. This is not what we expect of your administration. We expect you to respect our rights and, most fundamentally, our right to dissent. We're going to have a couple of speakers. Our first speaker was to have been a prominent community activist from the Latino community, Rudy Lozano. Unfortunately, he couldn't get childcare this morning, which just increases our dedication that when we march in May, we want to be able to bring our kids with us rather than search for childcare. So we want to have a family-friendly protest in May. So Rudy sends his regrets. So the next speaker then that I'm going to introduce, and I thought I saw him walk up a minute ago, is Jakari Shakur, who is a student leader from the Save City Colleges Coalition. If you don't recall this, when the administration, when Mayor Emanuel held his inauguration, there was a protest at that inauguration, and so it was the Save City Colleges Coalition, so they get the distinction of having been the first to have welcomed Emanuel back to Chicago. And we'd like to give him a round of applause and have him come and say a few words. Jakari? Right. Oh, there you are, right behind me. That's why I couldn't see you. Step on up.
I'm here to read a statement today. This May, the Save City Colleges Coalition was not only the first, but was the only group to challenge the transition of the city's new administration. An administration that was well aware of the opposition of mismanagement, mass firings of essential support staff, and millions of dollars of taxpayers' and students' money squandered in new questionable hires at district office and the City Colleges of Chicago, unnecessary advertising, and other vague and purposely confusing miscellaneous expenses. Despite this opposition, the new administration arrogantly ignored our voices and reappointed Chancellor Cheryl Hyman as Chancellor of City Colleges. This is just one of many questionable appointments made by this new administration, including the new police superintendent. With the dismantling of the workers' unions and the corporatizing of many of the city services, many essential services, including public education. This is not just the first step towards mass corruption and misappropriation. This is the corruption. But we are not alone. All throughout this country, from California to New York, the message from the ruling class to the people seems to be the same all across the board. Corporatize everything. And it is becoming ever clear that this blatant And this blatant disregard for the people is in complete accord with the policy of our administration in Washington, D.C. More taxpayer money has been spent on since 2001 to now on an unjust and unprovoked war than that was used for public education for twice the amount of time. So I say that today I'm standing here in this uniform for a reason, because I have a message to send to you today. And that message is education, not corporatization. Education, not prisons. And education, not war.
Thank you, Jakari. Thank you, Jakari. Our next speaker in the city of Chicago, and really around the country and around the world, needs no introduction. There are many prominent anti-war activists who are here with us today, but none whose name is more well known than Kathy Kelly. Kathy?
Good afternoon. I'm grateful that Jakari pointed out that we're not alone in our desire to see Rahm Emanuel and the City of Chicago Police distinguish Chicago as a city that would welcome other people to come here, confident that they will be protected in their constitutional right to assemble peaceably for redress of grievance. And yes, assuredly, we have grievances, but we are the people representing innumerable efforts to protect life by stopping the wars, the reckless wars that have happened one after another, by stopping the ways of consumption that the G8 has endorsed. We're the people who've tried to stop violence and killing. So there is no need whatsoever to pretend that we're dangerous people who ought to be locked up. And so we hope that Mayor Rahm Emanuel will take advantage of this unusual opportunity to, in a sense, offset the scar, if you will, that has appeared on Chicago in history amongst those who can remember back to 1968, when the city of Chicago would not negotiate with the protesters, when the city of Chicago, in fact, outright refused any kind of welcome to people that were going to be coming to Chicago. Now, that left in the eyes of many a sense that Chicago's police were in a rather ugly view because of the riots that broke out. Now, here's a chance to say Chicago is a city that welcomes the right to free speech, and that anyone who comes here ready to exercise their right to assemble peaceably for redress of grievance will be protected, will be welcomed, and will be glad that they came here. Don't miss this opportunity, Mayor Emanuel.
Thank you, Kathy. I also want to say, as I said before, that we're joined today not just by peace organizations, but by labor as well. My own union, I'm on the executive board of the Service Employees International Union, Local Number 73, our executive board unanimously endorsed the letter that we'll be delivering to Mayor Emanuel shortly, and we're joined today by my president, Christine Boardman, and the division director for the Higher Education Division of the local, Remzi Yaus, as well as by other unions who are here today, the United Electrical Workers. We've gotten support from the Office of Professional Employees. I see my union brother, Artemio Ariola, just walked in. And I just want to say thank you and solidarity to all of the unions that are standing behind us and standing with us for our right to march. The next person that we're going to bring up knows too well about the repression that the city of Chicago is famous for. And I'm honored to introduce Mark Clemens from the Campaign to End the Death Penalty. Mark?
Hello, once again, my name is Mark Clemens. I represent several organizations, and one of those organizations is the Campaign to End the Death Penalty. Stripping citizens of their First Amendment right, a right that has been guaranteed to the citizens all across this country. But we're being told that we cannot assemble during this NATO visit. I find this to be very restrictive. Furthermore, we are dealing with a new mayor. We're dealing with someone that has said that he would bring in change. But what we constantly find is that the same old conditions rise up again. As an individual who served 28 years in prison as a result of John Burge, not only do I condemn this mayor here for stepping on our First Amendment rights, but I call all the citizens of Chicago to come out and to exercise your right when NATO do come to Chicago. We have been greatly victimized as a result by government from Mayor Daley and now a new mayor. I say no more. Enough is enough. Thank you.
Most gathered here are from Chicago and nearby suburbs, and we'll make them honorary Chicagoans for the purpose of this visit with the mayor. But we also have some other honorary Chicagoans, including Joe Lombardo from the United National Anti-War Committee. Joe?
Thank you. I'm from UNAC, United National Anti-War Coalition, as was mentioned. I'm from New York, and I'm here to read a statement from our group. The United National Anti-War Coalition has called for protests in Chicago during the NATO and G8 meetings to be held in May 2012. Local groups in Chicago, as well as groups nationally and internationally, have started organizing for protests at the NATO and G8 meetings. These protests will be peaceful. It is NATO who is bombing, invading, and occupying countries. They are the violent people who will be coming to Chicago in May. We are the people who oppose that violence. Therefore, we expect our rights to protest to be guaranteed by the Chicago City Government and the Chicago Police. We have applied for permits for our demonstrations, and we expect them to be granted, so we will be able to protest in close proximity to the NATO and G8 meetings. We consider the statement made to the Sun-Times by Superintendent of the Chicago Police, Gary McCarthy, that he is training 13,000 officers in arrest and containment procedures to be a very bad sign. His statement sets the stage for the type of extra-legal and violent actions that the Chicago Police used during the demonstrations in 1968 at the Democratic Party convention and are well known for nationally. In addition to these statements by Superintendent McCarthy, it has come to our attention that the Department of Justice has made inquiries about a meeting that we will be holding on August 28th at Kent College of Law. This meeting will have representatives from local, national, and possibly international groups to help organize our protests at the NATO and G8 meetings. We believe that the Department of Justice and the Chicago Police have no right to spy on our meetings and that such activity on their part is a violation of our First Amendment rights. We have seen in action the program of NATO and the G8 in the past years. They have pushed for austerity and war. This is what they will be planning in May. Instead, we believe that we can have prosperity and peace. It is this vision that they are most afraid of. They are afraid that people will reject their policies and see a new path forward. This is why they will do all in their power to silence our voice. Their policies have been opposed by millions from Egypt to Greece to Wisconsin. These policies will be opposed again in Chicago in May, and we will not be silenced. Thank you. If anybody would like a copy of the statement, I have it written down.
Thank you, Joe. Kathy Kelly, a moment ago, referred to Chicago's unfortunate history of police violence against protesters. Those of us that marched in 2003 against the launching of the illegal war on Iraq experienced that firsthand when the police arrested 800 of us in an unprovoked mass arrest. The next speaker we're going to bring up is someone who had a different experience with the Chicago police, and who I'm referring to is Artemio Arreola from the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights and one of the founders of the March 10th movement. When they marched in their hundreds of thousands for the rights of the immigrants, the city and the police had to stand down, and we hope to have that kind of respect from the city and the police when we march in May. Artemio?
Workers' rights, immigrant rights. We are be together in here. I'm as an immigrant in this country. I know I have obligations, but I also have rights, and I have my rights to express. And we will do to do and civilized rights. And we already proved, and we did it. 206, 207, 208, we don't have any bad incidents with millions of people on the street. And we're part of this. And we want to do again. And we're really working together with the police. And we want to do this. You know, we want to permit. We want to be things right. We want to be the eyes. We want to be the example of the world. The workers are really want our country. But you know what? We also have expressed to our rights. And we are here to demand it, our rights to express, to demand to protest, to demand to rise, to say no, you know, and the, our ways to do. We did it before. We will keep doing. And I hope we got the permits to do this and the right way. Anyway, what to do?
All right, thank you. speaking of civil liberties, our next speaker will be Bob Clark, who's a former City College professor, but currently is the head of the Chicago Committee to Defend the Bill of Rights. Bob?
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. I did feel a special solidarity with Jokari in his defense and the coalition to defend the city colleges for obvious reasons. I toiled in that vineyard at one time. In the 50 years of its existence, the Chicago Committee to Defend the Bill of Rights has consistently upheld the rights guaranteed in the First Amendment, including the rights to assemble and petition the government, as the bedrock of civil liberties. Freedom to speak up to those who dominate our government and economic life includes the freedom to gather and protest in all public places with minimal interference and restriction. We believe that when concerns over the balance between freedom and regulation of expression arise, the priority must always go to freedom, not to crowd control, Amen. Not to shielding dignitaries from noise and embarrassment, not to keeping the streets in order. We insist that police provocations and propaganda exaggerating the prospects of violence to justify suppression of First Amendment rights be put to an end in Chicago. The police practice in Chicago and elsewhere, St. Paul being an example, of unconstitutionally confining demonstrators in so-called First Amendment zones, in reality penning them up like animals, is a travesty of respect for our fundamental freedoms, more fitting to tyrants in Syria and Myanmar than to our country's highest values. The image of a city under full control with mass arrests, intimidation, brutish police excesses is not our version of a Chicago we will accept. We call upon Mayor Emanuel, as well as the federal authorities, to show during the G8 NATO meetings that the ugly stains of past repression of anti-war and other demonstrations has given way to an image of the city that works in accordance with the Bill of Rights.
Thank you, Bob. And now, because of the heat in here, I'm actually going to take my jacket off, which is an appropriate time to comment that currently there are how many? 15 people in Chicago who have died in the heat wave. There are 10,000 people whose electricity has been shut off and therefore have no access to the air conditioning that most of us rely on. And I just can't help but think that the money that the city could be spending to provide emergency relief to the poor in the heat wave would be better, a better way to spend it than on the $20 million minimum of tens of millions of dollars that they're going to spend hosting NATO and the G8. So that was just a personal comment. Thank you very much. All right. Next, I want to introduce from the National Committee to Stop FBI Repression somebody who knows full well what the meaning of the violation of civil liberties is, my union brother as well, Tom Burke.
Thank you.
Tommy.
Hello, my name is Tom Burke. I'm with the Committee to Stop FBI Repression, and along with Joe Osbaker and a total of 23 of us, back in September of 2010, the FBI raided homes, two in Chicago, five in Minnesota. My wife and I were subpoenaed in our town in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And so we know very well that when you organize, when you speak out against war, when you challenge the powerful and wealthy in this country, you challenge the U.S. empire, that they are going to sic the dogs on you. They are going to have FBI agents infiltrate your groups, or at least attempt to. They are going to have federal agents who are paid liars try to disrupt your activities, set people up to do foolish things. But we are not going to allow that to happen in this case. They tried to do it at the Republican National Convention, and we blocked them for the most part. But they're still going to use every trick they have to try to repress our movement. You know, Rahm Emanuel may think he's in charge of an empire. He may even fancy himself to be the new Napoleon, who's going to decide what rights we have and what rights we don't have. He fully supports the U.S. wars overseas and the occupations. I know this because he was my congressman, and I went with religious and labor leaders to talk to him on two occasions about ending the war in Iraq. And he scoffed at us, and, you know, he became irate with us, actually. And we were trying to be pleasant and just express our views to him. So I know very much what Mayor Emanuel's like. And he thinks he's running the show, but it's not true. The people of this city, we're going to march. We're going to bring our children to march and our families. And we're going to bring our friends from around the country to this city to let NATO, that we oppose their wars and their expansion of wars in other countries, and that the powerful and wealthy who are trying to outlaw our unions, we are going to reject them and send them back to where they came from, because we're in solidarity with the workers and the people of peace in all the other countries. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, our last speaker is Pat Hunt from the Chicago Area Code Pink and the Chicago Area Peace Action, and she's going to read the letter that we have to deliver to Mayor Emanuel today. Pat?
Thank you. To Mayor Rahm Emanuel, we, the undersigned, demand that your administration grant us permits for protest on May 15th and 19th, 2012, including appropriate rally gathering location and march routes to the venue for the NATO G8 summit taking place that week. We come to you because your administration has already spoken to us through Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy. He has threatened mass arrest and violence against protesters. We ask that your administration respect our civil liberties, our right to protest. According to Superintendent McCarthy, the priority of the Chicago Police Department, U.S. State Department, U.S. Secret Service, and other federal agencies is the protection of NATO and G8 officials. Your priority should be to protect the rights of the people to speak against war and for jobs, health care, education, and housing. The Department of Justice, the FBI, and other federal agencies have been guilty of numerous abuses over the years, including in Chicago. They have raided homes, launched investigations, and infiltrated organizations. They have targeted anti-war, international solidarity, and immigrant rights activists, as well as the Puerto Rican and Palestinian national movements. City Hall is willing to sacrifice a lot of money in order to hold the NATO G8 summit in Chicago. The National Restaurant Association has agreed to move their convention at McCormick Place 2 weeks earlier to accommodate the NATO G8 meeting. The Chicago Tribune reported that Chicago is, quote, sweetening the deal with financial concessions, according to sources close to the negotiations, end quote. The city of Pittsburgh spent $18 million to host the G20 summit in 2009. In addition to security costs, Pittsburgh had to close much of the area around the summit, highways, city streets, trains, bus lines, and waterways to regular traffic. Hosting NATO G8 could cost even more. Layoff notifications were sent on July 15th to 625 city employees to close a $30 million budget hole, and yet the city of Chicago can spare tens of millions of dollars to host the NATO G8 meetings. We've struggled for decades in Chicago to remind police brass that we have a constitutional right to publicly voice our opposition to government policies. It's disheartening to see the city's new police chief essentially parrot the distortion of previous chiefs, having trotted out locally for many years now. Chief McCarthy also played a role in the police response to the 2004 RNC protests in New York City, which have been widely criticized for their violence and wholesale repression of civil liberties and constitutional rights. It's both discouraging and unacceptable to see him publicly intimating that he plans to replicate these deplorable tactics here for the G8 NATO meeting and public response. For the tens of thousands of people from Chicago, around the country, and across the world who will gather here to protest against NATO and G8, we demand that the city of Chicago, 1, grant us permits to rally and march to the NATO G8 summit. 2, guarantee our civil liberties. 3, guarantee us there will be no spying, infiltration of organizations, or other attacks by the FBI or partner law enforcement agencies. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Pat. I know members of the media have been waiting 30 minutes patiently for all of our statements, and I want to thank you all. And now, to take questions, who better to talk about and answer questions about the experience of the anti-war movement in Chicago dealing with the police and the city in permit matters? Andy Thayer of the Chicago Coalition Against War and Racism and the Gay Liberation Network.
Thank you, Joe. As we stand here with the mayor talking about how he's going to set up a new city and how things are going to be so nice, three floors below us, the city council is voting on millions of dollars in settlement payments for the malfeasance of its police force, right as we're talking about that. This is the city police force, which year in, year out, pays out millions of dollars due to the violence and brutality and other disrespecting of rights. They currently have got a class action lawsuit against them for the largest mass arrest in Chicago history, over 800 arrested at the start of the Iraq War. They infiltrated our anti-war organizing meetings. According to court documents released concerning the 2005 demonstrations against the Iraq War, they have piled on lawsuit after lawsuit thanks to their violence and their misconduct. So if members of the media have some questions about that, I'd be happy to address them.
Do you have any figures as to how much the Daley administration has spent defending its act against lawsuits and ultimate payouts, rounded out in the millions of dollars?
This Chicago Sun-Times, actually 2 days ago, I believe it was, had a figure. They pointed out, for example, the $19.8 million due to just three of the John Burge cases. And I think that the figure they came up with was tens of millions each year, thanks to the violence and misconduct of the police force. But mind you, that's just the settlements. The city of Chicago also has a bevy of not only internal counsel, but outside counsel that they shell out millions of dollars to each year so as to fight these lawsuits from citizens attempting to win some justice when the city's own independent police review authority fails to discipline these officers.
And a follow-up question. Do you know if any of the people responsible for the events that led to legal action against the city have ever been disciplined or lost their jobs?
Well, in terms of losing their jobs, City of Chicago officers, almost never that has happened. There was a case where a Milwaukee police officer about a decade ago killed a homeless man, and he ended up serving a couple years worth of prison time. But they almost never serve any kind of time. They're never prosecuted by the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. That has continued under not only Alvarez, but Dick Devine before her.
Does John Burge still collect his pension?
I believe so. I'm not positive about that, but there's more John Burge lawsuits in process as we speak. The city continues to pay out millions on that.
So there appears to be little shame amongst the political class.
Yes, you could say that. And really, I mean, in terms of the shame, I mean, I think you have to put it in a broader context. We had the city lost the Olympics bid, thank God, which was supposed to be Mayor Daley's big coming out party. But now we've got this G8 NATO summit, which promises to be more of the same in terms of millions of dollars, basically to promote Mayor Emanuel's ego and his political career. I mean, I truly believe he's using this as a launch pad for national office, and the city of Chicago sure as hell can't afford it, and we shouldn't pay for it.
Since no one else has questions, do you know, since you've dealt with permits and the restrictions that the city and the authorities place, do you know that whether or not there'll be national security laws imposed during, prior to and during this meeting in Chicago, should it take place? How they might affect citizens and what effects though that might be, limits on transportation, limits on access to freeways, limits on bus routes, etc.
Events of this sort are typically reclassified as national security events, which means that all the local authorities basically are kicked to the curb and the Secret Service runs the show in terms of security. And basically, I think that's a recipe for our civil liberties going out the door. I should note that the current head of McCormick Place Security is a man who filed two false felony charges against me a few years ago. And now he's been bumped over to McCormick Place Security in a fitting, I think, you couldn't make a movie up about this. Keating's his name.
We're going to deliver our letter, and the press is welcome to come with us. Thank you, everyone, and we'll follow up.
My apologies for monopolizing the question.